tied up in traffic.
Right, yeah. Very good. All right. So we're on the last line on Hamid Beis, about to start Vavam and Aleph. And we're talking about what's called a Shiur Pirtza. In other words, a Mavui loses its status as a Mavui, which means that you're not allowed to be Matir through a Korah or a Lechit. You're not allowed to be Matir Tiltul in a Mavui if it has a Pirtza. Now, what constitutes a Pirtza? What is the size of a Pirtza? Amar Rav Chanin Bar Rava, Amar Rav, Mavui Shenifrats. Okay, now we start off Vavam and Aleph. Mitzido, if the Pirtza is on one of the walls of the Mavui, right, there are basically four walls in a Mavui, really three walls. They're the two side walls, that's called Mitzido. And then there's the wall at the very end of the Mavui, and then there's the opening into the Mavui. So we're talking about a Pirtza in the wall that's on the side of the Mavui, that goes up and down the alleyway. And it's got to be Eser, meaning 10 Amos. Only if it's 10 Amos wide of a Pirtza, then it's called a Pirtza. If the Pirtza has 10 amos, or less than 10 amos, the word, you have to be careful here, because when it says be'eser, it means be'yoser mi'eser. It means if the pirtza is above 10 amos, let's call it 10.1 amos, then it's called a pirtza, and that's going to disqualify the whole mavui. But if it's a pirtza that goes below 10 amos, or up to 10 amos, then it's not called a pirtza. In other words, it doesn't prohibit the mavui. That's point number one. I assume you have a little picture here. I know I have the pages that you sent me, Don, but I'm looking right now in the Masifta. And this diagram in the Masifta is something that we've seen in the past. It's not really new to us. And basically what you have is, on the right side of the Mavui, you have four tfachim of kosel, and then a breakage that goes up to 10 amos, but not beyond 10 amos. And that's what Rav adds over here, and he says, if the pirtza is mirosho, okay, we have to see what the word mirosho means. Literally, it means from the top part, you know, the opening part of the mavui. That's called the rush. And then biarba. So let me try to see what he's saying over here. So I'm going to read to you first the Hebrew translation, and then we have a long footnote here. I don't know if we'll go through the entire footnote, but he also has a diagram here. And let's see what he says. Hapirtza hi mirosho bekosel shebarosh hamavui shelo haya hamavui parutz kulo ela milvada pesach Shahoyisham Milvada Pesach, Hoyisham Gam Kosel, Vinifrats Oso Kosel, and Apirza Oseres Biarbo. So, what I understand is the following. When we talk about Apirza, we have to subdivide it into two basic categories. There's the Pirtza Mitzido and the Pirtza Mirosho. And we're going to be much more strict with regard to a Pirtza Mirosho. So what is Mitzido? We said before, these are the two walls that go up and down the Mavui. And Rosho means the top part of the Mavui, right near the Pesach HaMavui. If the pirtza, says Rav, is mirosho, then the pirtza that oseres, meaning it generates an iser on the mavui, is biarba. Arba means four tfachim. So we really went from one extreme to the other. In the case of the pirtza mitzido, in one of the kosle ha'orech ha'mavui, then it's only a pirtza ha'oseres if it's more than 10 amos. The opening is more than 10 amos. If it's less than 10 amos, it's not a pirtza ha'oseres. However, if the pirtza is berosh ha'mavui, so he's got some sort of a kosel in the top part of the mavui, right where he goes in, and he's got in the picture he's got a wall on the right, a wall on the left, and he's got openings, you know, coming in from the houses. The houses, excuse me, feed in through the openings to these walls on the right and on the left. Now he's got a wall on the Rosh HaKosel. So that's, if you know what I mean, a 90 degree angle vis-a-vis the other two Ksolim. So the other two Ksolim are parallel to each other. He's got another Kosel that combines them, and you know, connects them at the end of the Mavui. And now, at so to speak, a 90 degree angle of attached to one of these two walls, he has a wall that was broken. And it was broken for tfachim. So you have an opening in this wall that separates part of the wall from the other part of the wall, an airspace that's only four tfachim wide, and that's considered a pirtza ha'oseres. Now we don't know why, the Gemara is going to ask, what is the underlying logic here to differentiate between a pirtza in one of the two ksalim on the right or the left, and a pirtza in the kosel in the Rosh HaMavui? Maishna, that's going to be the Gemara's question. But I just want to read to you a summary of Tosfos and the Ritva. They say Eser and Arba are two different measurements. Eser means be'eser, right? It says be'eser, which means more than 10. And then it says be'arba, that means more than arba, which means that if the pirtza is only 10, is only 4, then it's already considered a pirtza. So it's be'arba means 4 and more. So if you have a pirtza of 10 amos on the right flank, it's still kosher, it's still mutter. If you have a pirtza at the Rosh HaMavui, and it's four tfachim of a pirtza, then it's awesome. And the Ritva adds the following. He says, Hatam b'shir shel eser amos. What's the underlying logic of 10 amos? Hu mishum she pirtza ad shir shel eser amos nikreis pesach. In other words, it becomes another opening from which the people in the houses enter into the mavui. Umishumkach rak biyose mi eser amos, oz eina nikra pesach vioser. So pesach is 10 amos, but not more than 10 amos. If it's more than 10 amos, it's not called a pesach. If it's not called a pesach, it's called a pirtza. Aval eser amos, if you have exactly 10 amos of a pirtza, adayin nikroim pesach. You can still call it a pesach. Aval ashir shel arba tfachim. What is this business about four tfachim in the Rosh HaMavui? Hu mishum she pirtza shel arba tfachim, he dover chashuv. In other words, at what point is the pirtza considered a certain chashivus? We're no longer talking about a pesach, we're talking about a serious break in the kosel. And the shear of a serious break in the kosel is four tfachim. Why? because the minimum size of a Pesach is 4 tefachim. So 4 tefachim, you see, has the chashivus of measuring the Rosh HaMavui, or the Pesach HaMavui. And if there's a breach in the wall of 4 tefachim, is that considered a pirtza? U'mishum kach, ein lomar shirak yoser me'arba asur, the afar bot tefachim davar chashivim. Even exactly 4 tefachim is already considered a davar chashiv. It's considered a Pesach, and therefore it's considered a pirtza. Maishna, the Gemara asks, Maishna mitzido bi'eser. What's your logic to say that if there's a pirtz of 10 amos, which means more than 10 amos, then it's a pirtz oseres? The omar pischahu. In other words, it means that if it's up to or including 10 amos, then it's considered a Pesach, and it's another way of getting into the Mavui. If that be the case, mi Rosh Nami, why not apply the same logic to the Rosh HaMavui? And if the Kosel of the Rosh HaMavui is broken more than 4 Tvachim, it's still name of Pesach. We should still call it a Pesach. Amar Rav Huna Brei de Rabbi Yeshua, Kigon Shenifrats Bekeren Zovis. So it's not the way we understood it, that there's a wall that's not at a 90 degree angle to the Kosel Mitzido, but rather no, the entire corner is completely broken up. There's a pirtza in the Kosel on that corner. Keren Zovis means a corner, which means that there's one Kosel, let's call it on the left side in this case. Until now we were talking about a pirtza on the right side. Let's now introduce the left side, for whatever reason, just to make this diagram a little bit more alive. And there's actually a pirtza on part of that Kosel as it would connect with the Kosel Barash HaMavli. Now there's a pirtza in the Kosel Barash HaMavli. So the two combine together, and you have at a 90 degree angle, you have now in a corner an entire pirtza. And the Gemara says, the Pischa Bekeren Zovis Lo Avdi Inshi. Nobody makes a Pesach, an opening, an entranceway into a Mavui on the side corner. That's not a usual way of making a Pesach. The Pesach is always made on the front part of the entranceway, not on the side. So again, if we're talking about Nifrat HaKosel Barosh HaMavui, which means in the middle of this Kosel somewhere there's a breakage, then you need a pirtza of 10 amos. Just like in the case of Tzido, a pirtza is 10 amos. Here too, I mean, it's a total switch from what we said before. The Gemara is backtracking. Here too, you don't need, you don't it doesn't qualify as a pirtza to aser the mavui if it's 4 tvachim, but rather it has to be 10 amos. However, and anything less than more than 10 amos is considered a Pesach. But when you're talking about the Keren Zovis, that's not a Pesach. Nobody normally would put a Pesach there. And therefore, if it's 4 tefachim, that's enough to make it into a pirtza. So he writes here the name of the Chazon Ish. He says, Afilu im kol ha-pirtza, the kosel ha-mizrachi, the kosel ha-dromi, Ocheles ha-pirtza mi'at mi'od, mi'komakom kol she'ein kosel dora magia keneged kosel mizrach, ha'inu gam im yarich es kosel ha-mizrach l'dorom, lo yifka v'kosel ha-dromi nikra keren zovis. So the Chazon Ish here is offering a new insight into what Keren Zovis is. Now, he speaks about two walls. He's got the eastern wall and the southern wall. Now, I'm not sure which is which, but I would just guess that the southern wall is now the wall on the entrance into the Mavui. Then he's got a kosel on the eastern side, and he wants to know what's a keren zavis. He says a keren zavis is when there's a pirtza that eats into, so to speak, the second wall. In other words, the pirtza is basically on one wall, that's the flat wall that entrance wall, which we call the kosel mizrahi, but that pirtza feeds into, so to speak, the kosel dromi, the kosel on, in this case, the southern side. And he says, once that happens, it's already called a keren zavis. However, if the two ksolim, he's got the dromi and the mizrahi, don't touch each other, if he would imagine extending the wall, if he would extend the wall, it would still not come in contact with the other wall. Oh, I see. No, it's basically what he's saying is, which is very clear in this picture, is that a keren zavis means that even if we take whatever wall you want to choose and extend it as if it wasn't broken, it's not going to meet up with the other wall because the other wall is also broken. So that gives you an entire open area at the corner when these two ksolim meet each other at a 90 degree angle. So I'll just read it one more time to see if we missed anything. He says, Afilim kol ha-pirtza b'kosel ha-mizrachi. In other words, now I understand what the Chazon Ish wants to accomplish here. You might have said that this pirtza b'rosh ha-mavui, which is called four tfachim, means he's got two tfachim open on this side and two tfachim open on this side. So the Chazon Ish says, no. Let's say he has 3.9 tfachim that are breached, that are open here on this side, and 0.1 open on this side, such that now the two would not meet, even if you'd imagine a straight line, because there's still a broken piece on this coast, so that's already called a keren zavis. So it's not two and two. It doesn't mean that there is an equal amount of pirts on each one of these two walls that meet. It could be that most of the pirtza is on one of those two walls, but there's a minimum bit of a pirtza on the other wall, so that they cannot meet. That's called a keren zavis. Harei shegamim yarech es hakosel lo yifka bekosel. I'm leaving out this north, the south, and the east, whatever it is. However, he says that the Rashba writes that keren zavis hani shenifatz hakosel samach l'sofo she'en aderech lios b'tzad hakosel el rak b'emtza hakosel. So this I don't understand. I mean, I assume that keren zavis means on the corner, and that's where the pirtza is, where the two ksolim meet. But he's quoting a Rashba that says that keren zavis is nifratz hakosel samuch b'sofa she'ein derech lios b'tzad hakosel el rak b'emtza hakosel. See, I don't know what he means by samuch b'sofa. I don't know, but he does say that it's not usual to find an opening in the middle of a kosel. No, I'm sorry. Just the opposite. He's saying it's not regular, it's not usual to find a breakage in the side of the kosa, which is samuch l'sofo, but usually you find a breakage in the middle of a kosa. I don't know how that Rashba sheds a light on our sugya.
Rabbi, could he mean that the entrance is usually in the front, not in the side? In other words, people don't put the entrance in the corner. They usually put the entrance towards the middle of the wall.
I don't know, he seems to be talking about the pirtz. I'll read it one more time. He says, Karen Zovitz means Nifratz HaKosel Samuch L'Sofo, because Ein Derech Lios B'Tzad HaKosel Ela B'Emtz HaKosel. I don't know, I thought he was talking about the pirtz.
Okay, I have a question about the Chazon Ish. Is he saying that in the corner?
Yeah.
Because the wall in the corner is less than four tefachim if you put them together as if they're straight. Then it's considered as if it's closed. And therefore...
Well, again, what's the total expanse or extent of the pirtza when you add this pirtza with that pirtza? Is it four tefachim?
You're looking at the pirtza on both sides.
And you're combining them together, but you don't have to have two and two.
Right.
You could have 3.9 and 0.1.
Because he's
saying that the two ksolim will not meet, even if you would draw a straight line and imagine that the kosa was complete, it wasn't broken. It would not reach the end of the other kosa because that it's open at that point. So there's airspace at the very corner. And the total pirtz, if you add the two to this kosel and that kosel, will come to four tefachim. That's how I understood the Chazon Ish. Now he says, what's the reason why a Keren Zovis is ein pirtz niteres biyosim yarbet tefachim? Why are we being so strict about a pirtz in the Keren Zovis that once it's four tefachim, it's out? Mishum shekol pirtza niteres v'omeid meruba. V'omeid meruba matir rak kishyesh tefanos mishnei tzidei hapirtza. V'ilkan kevin shebitzad echad shel hapritza ein kosel lo shayach latiro midin omeid meruba. Wow, this is mamish. I don't know what this is about. He's telling me that the rule of pirtza is called omeid meruba ala parts. I don't know what that means. Who says it's omeid meruba ala parts? Is that a dover poshet? I mean, to me that's an eye opener to say that that when we had a pirtza of 10 amos and the Mavi is mutter, that's the case of omeid meruba laparts. I don't know. But in any event, let's just work with that magical assumption. He says that omeid meruba laparts could only work when you have defanos on both sides of the pirtza. I mean, that makes sense. Right, you have a pirtza and you have two sides that are covered by defanos, by these walls. And then we could calculate together between this wall and that wall whether it's larger than the Eser Amos of a pirtza. But he says here, in the case of Keren Zovis, since one side of the pirtza has no kosel to it, is lo shayach Latiro midin omeid meruba. What does that mean? Kishiyesh. Again, so you have a pirtza and you have two defanos on two sides of the pirtza, but here, that it's in a Keren Zovis, since it's in a Keren Zovis, therefore, what? Just think. Since it's in a Keren Zovis, shebitzad echad shel hapirtza ein kosel, or I see what he's saying, that you, in a Keren Zovis situation, you can't attach the two parts of the Kosel on both sides of the Pirtza, because the Pirtza is all the way in the corner, so your Kosel has nothing to attach to. And the only time you can operate and activate the principle of Poritz Merubala, of Omed Merubala Poritz, is when you look at a straight line of a Kosel and it's got a breach in it, and you can attach the beginning of the Kosel with the end of the Kosel. But in the case of Keren Zovis, there's nowhere to attach to. You know, it just drops into airspace.
What's Keren Zovis? What is that?
Oh, I that's been our discussion now for the last half hour.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Okay, we've been, you know, if you haven't if you haven't heard about Keren Zovis, then we might as well start the shiur again. Okay. So again, we were trying to understand why the Mishnah, I should say Rav, said that a pirza of four tfachim in the Rosh HaMavui, in that kosel at the top, is considered a pirza hoseres. Why not 10 amos? And the only way we were able to make sense out of that with Rav Huna's comment is that the pirza of four tfachim was in the Keren Zovis. And we had a long discussion before, which I can sort of summarize if you want me to, about what is the Keren Zovis. So again, just to summarize very quickly, the Keren Zovis means that there's a pirza on two walls that form a 90 degree angle. Do you have a picture of that? So that's the Keren Zovis. And that's a problem of four tfachim. Again, we have the whole concept each that you don't need three tfachim. Oh, I mean, two tfachim and two tfachim. It's enough for the pirza. All told is four tfachim. And it means that if you would draw a straight line from one kosel, it would not meet up with the other kosel, because there's a slight pirza in the other kosel at that 90-degree angle point of meeting. And now we're adding another point. That in general, the solution to the problem of pirtz is always going to be omed merubal aparts. And omed merubal aparts can only operate when the two parts of the kosel, which are split, are separated by this pirtz, can meet with each other, so to speak. We can imagine that they're all part of one long kosel. And the pirtz is the minority of the size of that kosel. But we need to have two ksalim that could meet with each other. Meaning you had a full kosel and now it broke. So you have part of the kosel on this side, part of the kosel on that side, with a breach in the middle. And you imagine ki'ilu omed merubal aparts. You can sort of recreate or resurrect that original kosel. But you can't do it in the case of a Keren Zovis, because there's nowhere to attach that kosel to. And Omei Meruvel Aparitz only applies when you can attach two parts of a kosel to each other, and then you can disqualify the parts as the pirza as a posel. Okay. Now, the only problem with this approach is that the Gemara says the reason why Keren Zovis is a problem is because they don't usually make a Pesach in the Keren Zovis. That sounds like a whole different explanation. It has nothing to do with Omei Merubal Aparitz. He says that what the Gemara says over here is Kedei Levayer, Madu lo nachshavas hapirtza ke'ilu hi dofen alaksonit ulemele natir es hapirtza bekeren zovis machmas Omei Meruba Sheba Kosel, etc. Al Kain Omar Gemara Enosim Pesach Bekeren Zomis. Lachin Al Koch Tzoch Lahakshim Sapirza Kishnei Psochim Echa Bemizroch Echa Bedorom Nimtze Sheinkan Omi Meruba Lahatiro. So he says the following, that what the Gemara is trying to answer is why we don't view, in the case of Keren Zovis, why don't you view the pirza as a dofen that is diagonal. And if it's a dofen that's diagonal, then we could again apply the principle of omed merubah laparts, because then these two parts of the kosa that are left are two parts of one kosa, and we can imagine them as one single kosa. But all this is built on the assumption that you can have a corner opening. So if you have a corner opening, then you can view the kosel as one kosel on both the south and the east side, and they were breached in order to create an opening. But it's really one kosel. And the kosel in effect goes like this. It goes this way, and then it turns this way to a diagonal. And the Gemara says no, because it's not a derech, it's not acceptable to make a Pesach in a Keren Zavis. If you could have made a Pesach in the Keren Zavis, then you would view it as a wall that turns to the left, you know what I mean? But it's the same wall that turns towards the left. And then you could apply the principle of Omei Merubala parts. But since there's no such thing as a Pesach in a Keren Zavis, therefore you don't have any continuation of this Kosel, and if you don't have a continuation of the Kosel, then you cannot apply the principle of Omed Merubala parts. Now he asks... Yeah.
Who said that?
This is all the Chazon Ish.
All Chazon Ish.
Yeah, everything that we discuss is the Chazon Ish. I get the impression that the Chazon Ish is a major, major source for Masecht Erevin. Now, he has another question over here. He says, the Pirtza in the Keren Zavis. So the Rashba asks the following question. Why is it that the shear of a pirtza, in the case of Keren Zavis, is four tvachim? He says, logically, it should have been 3.1 tefach. Why? We have a halacha called lavud, and if two things that are separated by airspace of three tefachim or less are considered contiguous, are considered combined, then once we have three tefachim of an airspace, again, when I say three tefachim, I mean anything beyond three tefachim, and we cannot apply the principle of lavud, why isn't that enough to set up a psul of pirtza? In other words, basically, your shear of pirtza should be anything more than shlosha tvachim. Why is it four tvachim? So the Rashba says, kevin shekol pachos me'asor tvachim eino makum chashim lochmiru lesar samavoy pachos mishir zet. He says the Rabbanan used a different criterion. They could have used the criterion of what separates the two walls as a result of the pirtza, and then it would have been three tefachim plus. But instead, they spoke about what's called a makom chashuv. That if the pirtza would itself cover an area which is called a makom chashuv, then we'll be machmir and we'll prohibit the tiltal in the mavli. But as long as it's less than that shear of chashivus of four tefachim, so even though it's three plus, but it's not four tefachim, then it's okay. Now the Rashba asks a second question: Maduk shenifratz hamavui bekeren zavis b'shlosha tefachim lo nesar hamavui halo pirtza zu smucha l'rosh hamavui u'mevur li el dafheyam and aleph shenifratz hamavui samach l'rosho v'lo nishar bein hapirtza l'rosh hamavui Arba tfachim is poseles hapirtza b'shlosha tfachim. Let's go back for a moment to Daf Heyam and Aleph, and let's see. Where did we have a case of a pirtz of shlosha tfachim? Trying to remember what that discussion was. Oh, now I think I remember. So we had a case. Yeah, let's go over this. He says, "If nifrat hamavui samach leroshav v'lo nishar bein apirtza the rosh hamavui arbat fachim nishar bein apirtza the rosh hamavui arbat fachim poseles apirtza b'shloshat fachim." So let's see what we have here on Daf Hayam and Aleph from Rav Ami and Rav Asi. And he's talking about a pirtza in a kosel. And there's a korah at the entrance to this mavui. And what's left on the kosel to his right, what's left that's still standing, is 3 tfachim plus. If it's 4 tfachim, that's called a pas. And then it's mati, the pirtza, and so forth and so on. But let's say it's less than 4 tfachim, and it's not a pas, and it's more than 3 tfachim. And we said in such a case, the Pesach HaMavui is no longer the Pesach HaMavui, because the Bnei HaMavui are going to ignore the Pesach HaMavui, and instead they'll go through this pirtza. Just one second. So when it says shlosha tfachim, so what it means is that the rochav hapirtza is shlosha tfachim o yoser, and that's going to remove the status of the korah, because we now have another opening, another Pesach to supplant or replace the original Pesach. So let's see how that might impact on our sugya here on the Vav. Hiksha Rajba Maduak Shenifrat Hamavui Bekeren Zavis Bishlosha Tfachim Lo Nesar Hamavui Halo Pirtze Zeus Muchal Rosh Hamavui. And we said that if there's a pirtza of 3 tfachim, is then it's not matir the mavui. Yeah, because I would say the following, that in that case what we're doing is we're creating an alternative opening into the mavui, and therefore the korah is no longer functioning for the Pesach HaMavui, because we've now replaced the Pesach HaMavui. But here in Keren Zavis, I would say we're not replacing the original Pesach. Let's see what he answers. V'tireitz sheshamata mishumu shemokom anochas hakora. He's going to the korah. That's a good sign. Hu al gabi kosel haorech shalamov. Uivim lo nisha sham pas shalarbot foch menu nechshav movui. I would leave out those words, ain't nechshav mavui, but the next few words make more sense. V'nimtzesh lo huncha kora al gabi amavui. I think what he means is that that since he didn't end up, what was not left behind, if I could use that term, it was a four tfachim piece of wall, then that wall is no longer the wall of a mavui. So you don't have a mavui, and you don't have a korah that's sitting on the kosel mavui. Avokan sheniach es hakorah al gabi hakosel sheberosha mavui. Kosel zeh v'shamesh l'kol ha-movui V'aray nechsheves hakora munachas al gabi mavui. Okay, I mean, again, I thought that that our pshat was just as good. Okay, now we go on. Let's move on in the sugya. And the Gemara says that until now we were talking about who, let's just see. Oh, so yesterday we spoke about Rav Chanin, who said in the name of Rav that a mavi shenifrats mitzido biyosem yeser amos is awesome. Amar Rav Huna, now we're up to Rav Huna Amar. Rav Huna apparently has a different version, a tradition of Rav. Echod ze v'echod ze biarba. So in other words, forget about the case of a pirtz in the Keren Zavis. Let's talk about a pirtz in the Tzad, in the Kosel on the Tzad, which we call Mitzido. And he says the shear of a pirtza is four tfachim. I'm not sure if he's completely oblivious to the principle of omed merub al haparutz. He says here in the name of the Gon Yaakov, Mashal Rav Huna, pirtzas mavu yoseres barba tfachim, hu meatama mavur lahalon o daf yud, Shekshiyesh Pesach Nosaf Bimavui Yeshlach Shosh Shianichu Bnea Movuy Sa Pesach Sheberosha Movuy Vikonsu Vietsu Dercha Pesach Nosaf A Pesach Sherosha Movuy Loyechoshiv Yoser Pesach Movuy Vakoro Alechi Shebo Loyach Shirus Movuy Vichashash Ze Eno Ella Bepesach Animtsa Bitside Hamovui Shehalicha Sham Mikatseris Esaderch Aval Bepesra Nimsa Berosh Hamovui Sheshnea Psochim Ponim Lioso Mokom Vien Halicha Bioso Pesach Mikatseris Esaderch Is Ein Lochush Sheyelchu Sham Bnei Mavui Kevin she'ein b'nei odo meinichim pesach goro v'holchim v'pesach koton ki she'ein alich ha'shom v'katzeres lemes ha'derech. I just tell you what I get out of this. Rav Huna is claiming that when you have a pirtza for tfachim, that creates a new pesach, which now replaces or undermines the Pesach of the Rosh HaMavui, and the Koran Alechi is over the Pesach Sheba Rosh HaMavui, and they can no longer serve to be Matir the Mavui. And again, since this Pirtza is on the side of the Mavui, where the houses and the people coming out of the houses feed in, they will now use this Pesach of this Pirtza for Tfachim as an alternative entranceway into the Mavui. If on the other hand you have a Pirtza at the beginning of a Mavui on the entranceway, well, he says that it's not usual to replace one Pirtza, one Pesach with another. You know, he's got a Pesach and it's well established, and that's the one he'll use. He's not going to save anything by finding an alternative Pesach at that site. But if it's Betzide, Bakosel Betzide Amavui, then now it becomes a shortcut for him to use that entranceway, to use that Pirtza of Fort Fachim as an entranceway into the Mavui. Which means that the Pesach of the Mavui no longer serves as a Pesach. It's already been replaced. Because why go all the way around when we go right into this Pirtza? But once you have four tefachim, that already is comfortable enough for an alternative Pesach, which shortens the route. What I'm not sure about is what happened with according to Rav Huna, with the principle called Omed Meruv Al Haparetz. Where did that disappear? He says, V'chein omar lei Rav Huna l'Rav Hanan bar Abba lo tiflog aloi. Don't argue against me in terms of what Rav actually said. And the pirtza is allowed to be as much as 10 amos. The Rav Ikla, Rav, this is a story that Rav himself found himself, he went to a place called Damcharia, I guess it may be a town in Bavel, the Ovad Uvda Kavasi, and his Horas Halacha was like me, that the Mavi is also, the pirtza on the side is for Tvachim. Amalei, so Rav Hanan responds to Rav Huna, don't prove anything from that story. Rav Bika Matzah V'Gader B'Gader. I'm not sure what that means. Let's read the Hebrew. He says, B'nei Oso Mokom Amei Ha'aretz Hayu. They were ignorant. Hayu Mezalzel B'mitzus V'Hichmir Aleim Rav Yoser Me'adin K'dei L'Archika Me'avera Ke'odem Agoder Bika Prutza K'dei L'Shomra. So Rav Huna is giving a melitza, some sort of a mashal. He's saying that just like a person comes to a very open area called a bika, some sort of open field or valley or so forth. So what he does is he puts up a fence around it. So too Rav wanted to put up a fence because he saw the people there were such ignorant people, they didn't know the laws of Erevin at all. So he went as far as to say that if there's a pirtza of four tefachim, then you've got a problem. You can't be matir this mavu. And by being machmir, he was surely assuring that in the case of Eser Amos, a pirtza of Eser Amos, more, they would not allow carrying in the mavu. So he went overboard with a chumrah in order to make our chaka for people who are ignorant. Omar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kavosei de Rav Huna Mistabra. He accepts the logical principle of Rav Huna that Rav holds that the shear of Pirtza is four tefachim. The Itmar we learned in the Beis Medrash Mavoi Akum. A comb, so somewhere in the middle of the mavui, it turns in a certain way, and it turns towards the other side. Okay, we have a picture here of a mavui akum. Just see. He says here that we should look at this tziur. Where? Oh, I see. So the mavui turns towards the left or the right. It's irrelevant. So you go down this alleyway, and then it turns. Many, many alleyways fit that description. The thought just occurred to me that my apartment in Katamon sits in an alleyway that connects Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. I'm just wondering if, let's say there was no Eruv and I wanted to be Matir Tiltil in the Mavui, would that be a Mavui? And I would put up a Korah or a Lechi. Ah, no, that's Mefulosh. Ah, so the question is whether that's mefulosh or not. You follow, because it connects two streets, so maybe it's called mefulosh. And then it's not a mavu. So let's see. Omrav Nachman bar Yitzchak Avosei de Rav Huna Mistavra de Itmar Mavui Akum. So what you have is on the two tzadim of the Mavui, you have openings to Rishus Arav. Right, it opens up to Yishas Arabim on both ends. So Lechora, that might be Mefulash. Or do we say no? Since when you go down one direction, you hit a brick wall, right? So that's not Mefulash. Is Rav Omer Torasso ki Mefulash? Shmuel Omer Torasso ki Sasu? So according to Rav, both parts of the Mavui, Kol Echad, each part of the Mavui opens up into the second part, and if it's considered as if it opens up into Rishus HaRab, so then you would not be able to be matir this Mavui with a Lechi or a Korah, because it has the status of a Mavui Mefulash. Ushmul Amar Torasso Kisasu. So it means at that spot where it turns, we should see it as Sasu. Therefore, all you need is a Lechi or a Korah. Now, what does that have to do with the Shear of a Pirtza? This I don't know. Is this something? Oh. V'mayas kinan ilema, if we're going to say be yoser me eser, if each part of the mavui is more than 10, is more than 10 amos, behol lema shmul taraso kisasu, can Shmuel possibly say that this is called sasu? For sure this is the mavui is one long mavui, and it's mefulash to Rishus Arabim. How can Shmuel call it sasu? Elalav be eser nekama rav toroso kimefulash. It's not a case of yoser be eser, it's a case of eser. And Rav calls him a foolish because he holds that that the two parts of this mavui are prutzim zelazet, and each one of these two parts of the mavui, the afshel chol echad mechelke mavui mokom Akmi Musa hu kipirtza mitzido veina pirtza yosem yeser amis is sova rav she pirtza zu oseres es hamavui alma she pirtzas mavui mitzido biarbo. Alright, we don't have time here, but just to give you the general feeling that I get, you know, in broad sketches, he's trying to know whether or not at the point at which the mavui turns, right, turns towards the left, at that point, can we consider it as a piritza, such that we don't connect the two different mavuis? And in this case, if you don't connect the two different mavuis, that's good news for the Jews, because then it's not a mavui mefulash, but rather it's two different mavuis. Each one is eno mefulash. So our goal is to separate these two sections. One goes this way, the other goes that way, and they're two different mavuis. And in order to do that, what we're going to do is we're going to set up a pirtza. And what is that pirtza? According to this Gemara, Rav says it's eser amos. So you see that Rav holds that a pirtza is Eser Amos. We just said that up until Eser Amos, and including Eser Amos, is not a Pirtza. Now, the Gemara assumes that if the shear of a pirtz is not Eser Amos, then it falls back to what Rav Huna said, and namely, it's four tfachim. Those are your two options. You only have those two. So, Mirtz Hashem, you know, we'll try to pick this up on Yom Rishon, and we'll try to develop it a little bit more in depth.